Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, November 6th. Coming up this hour,
Americans head to the polls to determine control of Congress.
Up for grabs, 35 Senate seats, all 435 House seats, and 39 governorships.
Politics loom large for traders as global stocks enter a holding pattern ahead of the vote.
President Trump and former President Obama make final pitches for today's midterms. Plus, the man accused of mailing pipe bombs will be in a New York court today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Tough loss for the Knicks. The Bulls beat them in double overtime at the Garden. Devils won. Islanders lost. Titans beat the Cowboys in Monday Night Football.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
Welcome to Election Day. I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PGIM. In the search for Alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial Inc.
And Nathan, it's a mixed picture across the global stock markets with investors seemingly entering a holding pattern ahead of the midterm elections. It is now 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trade today right here on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 8 points. That's down 0.3% this morning. The Dow futures down 53 points. That's down 0.2%. The Nasdaq E-mini futures 35 points lower. That's down 0.5%. 10-year yield in the U.S. 3.19% as the price increases by 1/32. NYMEX crude down 22 cents a barrel. That's down 0.4%. At 62.88. And this Bloomberg Data Check brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. Nathan.
John, thanks. As Americans head to the polls today, most predictions call for a split Congress, an outcome that could dramatically alter the second half of President Trump's term. Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli reports.
Polls show Democrats with a strong shot at winning the 23 seats needed to flip the House, while the electoral map gives Republicans an advantage in holding the Senate. Votes will be cast for 33 members of the Senate, plus two special elections, and all 435 seats in the House, as well as 39 governorships. It's the most expensive midterm campaign in U.S. history, and estimated to have the biggest turnout as well. Polls show Senate races in Arizona, Nevada, Missouri, Indiana, and Florida all within the margin of error, with those in Montana and Texas also tight. Kevin Cirilli, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Kevin. And while Wall Street awaits results from today's vote, most traders aren't expecting anything like the lift that stocks had after the 2016 election. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Jill Schneider.
Investors warn that the widely expected outcome of a divided Congress may not be fully baked into asset prices, but their views on the potential impact differ depending on where they're sitting. For those outside the U.S., trade is front and center, with China's yuan particularly exposed. American investors are more focused on the chances of increased government spending, which could push the economy into overdrive, boost treasury yields, and in turn, sink stocks. No matter where they are, few expect the recovery in risk appetite that typically follows midterm elections. In New York, Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, Jill, and most analysts don't expect stock market gains like those after 2016. Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore says the removal of uncertainty rather than the actual results may matter most to markets.
No matter what the results are, there'll be a bit of an uncertainty premium removed afterwards, and that should help risk assets. It is true that investors are holding back because of this hype, because of this uncertainty, therefore they're underinvested, and that means they're more likely to start kind of piling back into assets in the weeks ahead, no matter what the results.
And right now, markets appear to be in a holding pattern ahead of today's vote.
Yeah, and still analysts say some sectors could feel a direct impact from the election results. Bloomberg's Remy Innocencio has details on that.
Analysts think pharma and bank stocks could get a boost. Donald Trump has threatened price controls on medication. Now, if Dems take the House, that could slow down or stop Trump's agenda. For banks, a split Congress might not have much impact, but Cowen is still overall positive. It says regulators installed by Trump would still keep pushing to change Obama's old rules. And then there's the possible negatives to a divided Congress, and tech companies could keep feeling the pain. Tech will still be the pinata that both the Democrats and the Republicans will be all too happy to hit. Concerns, of course, over data breaches, hacking, and election meddling definitely aren't going away anytime soon, and analysts expect more hearings brought by the Dems, too. Ramy Innocencio, Bloomberg News, New York.
All right, Ramy, thank you. Well, one thing that's not likely to change after today's vote is President Trump's trade policies. Trade falls under the purview of the White House, and the president's hardline stance on China largely has bipartisan support anyway.
And meanwhile, China's vice president says Beijing is ready to discuss a trade solution with the U.S. And Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore.
Vice President Wang Qishan told the forum that trade is still an anchor and propeller of China-U.S. relations. He said China will stay calm and sober-minded and embrace greater openness that he said would pave the way for win-win results. That said, there was a lecture, too, as we often get from both sides in this dispute. Wang prefaced his support with a warning about the dangers of right-leaning populism and unilateralism. In Singapore, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. We have some news to report from the world's biggest e-commerce company. Sources tell Bloomberg Amazon's search for a second headquarters is nearing an end. Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini reports the plans call for locations in two cities.
Amazon is said to be splitting its new planned headquarters into two, and we're told the frontrunners are Long Island City here in New York and Crystal City in Arlington, Virginia. Having two HQs could help Amazon avoid criticism for driving property prices sky high like it has in Seattle. Crystal City is close to the D.C. Power Center and close to one of CEO Jeff Bezos' homes. A Long Island City, Queens location could draw on the New York Metro's deep bench of tech talent and is also close to major airports. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Denise. In deal news, Bloomberg News has learned General Electric is in talks to sell its commercial lighting division to American Industrial Partners. GE and AIP could announce a deal for the unit known as Current as early as this week. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures down 6, the Dow futures down 40, the NASDAQ futures 29 points lower. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr joins us now on this Election Day morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump and former President Obama wrapped up a campaign blitz ahead of today's midterms. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Campaigning in Ohio, Trump spoke in dark terms of opponents who would bring boom times to a crushing halt.
If the radical Democrats take power, they will take a wrecking ball to our economy and to our future.
While Obama, speaking for Democrats in Virginia, spoke in upbeat terms about correcting the nation's moral compass and returning to the days when Americans worked together.
People start thinking, you know what, let me treat somebody the way I want to be treated. And suddenly our public discourse, how we talk to each other, gets a little better.
Obama argued that voters have a clear choice.
Better's good.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is seeking a third term, is up against Republican Mark Molinaro. Voters across the state will also decide 27 seats in the U.S. House. One of several U.S. Senate races being watched is in New Jersey, as incumbent Democrat Bob Menendez is running against Republican Bob Hugin. Also in New Jersey, eyes are on a U.S. House race in the 11th District, where Republican Jay Weber is up against Democrat Mikey Sherrill. Pipe bomb suspect Cesar Sayoc is expected to make his first court appearance today in New York. Prosecutors say they will ask a judge to hold him without bail. Sayoc is accused of sending explosive devices to Democrats, critics of President Trump, and CNN. Millions of people in India are currently breathing in the world's most polluted air. Bloomberg's Ian Marlowe in New Delhi reports it's only going to get worse this week as millions set off firecrackers for the Hindu Festival of Lights.
With thousands of farmers already burning their crops, many of India's cities have once again been engulfed in a thick, toxic smog. Air quality index levels in New Delhi soared above 400 on Monday, a reading considered hazardous. The air in Delhi was the worst in the world on Monday, four times worse, in fact, than China's notoriously polluted capital, Beijing, which had a reading of 93. By comparison, New York had a reading of just 16, which is considered healthy. In New Delhi, Ian Marlowe, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, a long night at the Garden. Knicks and Bulls played two overtimes, and it was looking like as if there'd be a third. Emmanuel Mudiay's driving shot with 3 seconds left of the second OT tied the game, but with 0.2 seconds left, Mudiay was called for a foul, and Zach LaVine's free throw gave Chicago a 116-115 win. LaVine scored a career-high 41 points. Enes Kanter, 23 points, and a career-high 24 rebounds for the Knicks. Alonzo Trier, who started for the injured Tim Hardaway, scored 21 all after halftime. It was Moutier's best game with 16 off the bench. David Fizdale's Knicks are 3-8. They have had a lead in the fourth quarter or overtime in 7 of those 8 losses.
Good experience for our guys. Very competitive. I thought their guys really competed hard. Obviously, Zach LaVine is a serious handful. But I was really proud of our effort. Came down to point one. And we didn't get the break.
Knicks not thrilled with the foul call at the end. Another win for Golden State. That's 8 in a row. Toronto now 10-1. The Raptors won in Utah. Denver's 9-1. Beat the Celtics. Jamal Murray scored 48. Local hockey, Devils ended a 3-game losing streak. A 5-1 win at Pittsburgh thanks to Brian Boyle's hat trick. Islanders going for a 6th win in a row. Had a 3-1 lead but lost to Montreal 4-3 in a shootout. Monday Night Football saw Tennessee win at Dallas 28-14. Marcus Mariota threw for 2 touchdowns, ran for another. 2 Yankees named as finalists for American League Rookie of the Year. Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar will compete with the Angels' two-way Japanese import, Shohei Ohtani. Mets are ace Jacob deGrom, obviously finalists for the NL Cy Young. His main competition will be the Nats' Max Scherzer. The winners will be announced next week. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks very much. Head of the market open on this election day. S&P futures are pointed lower, down 6 points or 0.25%. Dow futures down 46 or 0.2%. NASDAQ futures are down 30. That's a drop of 0.4%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank. For business solutions to move your business forward, Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. This on the morning when U.S. stock futures relatively quiet on this election day. S&P futures right now down 8. The Dow futures 61 points lower. That's down 0.2. NASDAQ E-mini futures 36 points lower. Down right now about 0.5%. As far as stocks overseas, kind of a mixed picture in the global stock markets. Investors entering a holding pattern, it would seem. European equities turned lower alongside with the futures here in the U.S. Asian shares, they advanced. The pound, British pound sterling, extended gains amid Brexit hopes. And the Treasury yields and the dollar, they are holding steady. The benchmark 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.18%. As the price increases by 3/32. We have crude oil lower. NYMEX crude in the U.S. down 34 cents a barrel. That's down about 0.5%. $62.77 a barrel. And Brent crude down 39 cents a barrel. That's down 0.5% at $72.78. Spot gold is up $2.14 an ounce at $1,233.64. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. Voters across America are casting ballots of the first nationwide election of Donald Trump's presidency. Nothing is certain. The Republicans have privately expressed confidence in keeping their narrow Senate majority, but fear the House will head to Democrats. The Trump administration asked the Supreme Court to let him end deportation protections for young undocumented immigrants, urging the justices to bypass federal appeals courts to get the case resolved by next summer. In the NBA, the Knicks lost in double overtime against the Bulls. The Celtics lost. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Devils won along with the Bruins and Capitals. Monday Night Football, the Titans down the Cowboys 28-14. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined on this Election Day morning by Matt Maley, equity strategist for Miller Tabak. Matt, thanks as always for being with us. We're expecting long lines at the polls, but what are you expecting in terms of market action today? Are we going to see a lot of trading on an election day?
I doubt it. You know, there's just too many people. We've had too many instances in the last few years, not just in the U.S., but obviously around the world, where these pollsters have been dead wrong. So people will want to wait and see till they actually get the results before they kind of react to what happens. I just think that the one thing is you'll start to hear some feedback. People hear exit polling and things like that, and you might see some reaction to those kind of revelations. But until we really get the real results, and that won't come till tonight. I think today most investors will sit on their hands.
Now, a lot of the expectation ahead of those results has been that Democrats take the House and Republicans hold on or perhaps extend their majority in the Senate. Do you see that as baked into the market, or could we be surprised tonight?
Well, I think that's fairly baked into the market. It might be a little bit disappointing because, everybody's been expecting, or everybody's hoping for more stimulus from the president or from the GOP. And obviously, if we have a mixed Congress, the chances of that happening are a little bit lower. But, you know, my kind of feeling is that a lot of it's already baked into the market. The market's already sold off a little bit. Once we get past the election, I think people are going to refocus on what's going on with the Fed and their tightening cycle, what's going on, obviously, with China and the trade tensions there, and even a little bit on what's going on with Europe and the banking situation with the banking stocks in bear market territory there.
All right, let's break that down one by one. As far as the Fed picture, the Federal Reserve meets on Thursday, not expecting much change this month in terms of the level of the rate. But what could the election result mean for the Fed rate path? Could there be any impact?
I don't think so. I mean, one of the things that a lot of people are hoping that's the case. The one thing that really stands out to me, though, for the Fed is that, you know, one of the catalysts for this sell-off in the market that we've seen recently was when Chairman Powell came out and said that the interest rates weren't anywhere near neutral yet. The thing is, in the previous decade, when Ben Bernanke or Janet Yellen made a comment that the market didn't like very much, somebody would come out and clarify them, quote-unquote clarify them or restate them to make them sound a little less harsh for the markets. This time, nobody's come out to say that at all. So I believe that they're going to stay on this this tightening cycle that they're in until we get a more severe pullback in the markets, which I think can't happen. That doesn't preclude a year-end rally. I just think we might need one more washout move, either that or some data or a more severe move in the market before they change course. And that doesn't seem to be in the cards in the near term.
All right. And in terms of trade tensions with China, what are your expectations there? I mean, there seems to be at least a bipartisan consensus that lawmakers don't like this trade dispute.
Yes, and it's going to be on the president. I mean, is he doing the right thing? It sounds like he feels he is. I mean, a lot of people do agree that that something needs to be done. I mean, there's a bipartisan consensus that something needs to be done. I mean, there's a lot of people on the Democrat side he's being too harsh, but the feeling is something needs to be done. So if that means he's going to go a little bit longer, I definitely believe that the Chinese have the wherewithal to withstand a lot more pain in terms of whether it be economic pain, and they don't really worry about political pain than Canada or Mexico had. So I think these are issues. I guess my point is not a huge amount has changed on these two fronts since the beginning of October when it hurt the market. So I still think it could cause us to have one more flush move in the flush out move in the market before we get the kind of year-end rally that I think a lot of people are looking for, as am I looking for.
30 seconds left, Matt. President Trump has said if Republicans lose the Congress, the stock market will tank. Do you agree?
Oh, if they lose both houses, I think the market will definitely go down pretty hard. But I do think that it's already starting to get washed out. It's oversold, and we just need one more move to kind of create a year-end rally. So I think investors, if they be a little patient here, they can have some great opportunities no matter what happens with the election.
Matt Maley, equity strategist for Miller Tabak. Always good to have you on with us on Bloomberg Daybreak, particularly on the morning of an election. And as we await the market open, investors seem to be in a bit of a holding pattern here with S&P futures down 5 points. That's a drop of nearly 0.2%. Dow futures down 32, a 0.1% loss. NASDAQ futures down 24 points right now. That is a drop of 0.3%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Passion.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
At 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stock futures are lower as Americans head to the polls in the first nationwide election of Donald Trump's presidency. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Burke has details.
The expectation is that we will see the Democrats take control of the House. Cook Political Report is predicting that Democrats will easily gain anywhere between 20 to 45 seats in the House. Remember, Democrats need to flip 23 seats to take control. So those numbers suggest that it's very possible we do see that outcome. Democrats are still expected to fall short in the Senate, though. So we're really just in a state of gridlock.
All right, Christine, thank you. We've got much more on the election coming up in just a minute and throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio.
In other news, we're following a top deputy to China's Xi Jinping says Beijing is still ready to talk trade with the U.S. But Vice President Wang Shihan told the Bloomberg New Energy Forum in Singapore that China won't be, quote, bullied and oppressed by foreign powers.
U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May's cabinet expects to be locked in a room today to study the latest Brexit options in secret. Today's session is likely to focus on one of the big stumbling blocks, how to avoid customs checks at the Irish border with the U.K.
European area businesses entered the final stretch of the year with the weakest growth in more than 2 years. A purchasing managers index for manufacturing and services fell to 53.1 in October. That's down from 54.1 in September.
GAM Holding has ousted its CEO, Alex Friedmanofter. The move comes following the suspension of a star manager that's left the investment firm fighting for its survival.
And shares of Marriott fell 5% at extended trading. The company reported earnings and revenue that missed estimates.
Booking Holdings, formerly known as Priceline, jumped more than 6%. The travel company says profit in the fourth quarter will surpass analyst forecasts.
And just ahead today, we get earnings from 21 companies in the S&P 500. They include Eli Lilly, CVS Health, and Ralph Lauren. Ahead of the cash market open on Wall Street this morning, S&P futures in the U.S. down 7 points. That's a decline of 0.3%. The Dow futures are down 52 points. That's down 0.2%. The Nasdaq E-mini futures, 28 points lower. That's down 0.4%. And right now we have mixed dollar, euro 113.97. That's down about 0.1% against the U.S. dollar. Japanese yen up against the dollar, up about 0.5% at 113.13. And sterling, 130.33. Down just slightly against the greenback. 10-year yield in the U.S., that is at 3.91% as the price increases by 0.2. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead, world and national news.
All right, John, thank you. 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us more what's going on around the world. I hear there's an election on, Michael.
Oh, yeah. Voters across America will cast midterm ballots today. Polls show Democrats with a strong shot at flipping the House, while the electoral map gives Republicans an advantage in holding the Senate. Votes will be cast for 33 members of the Senate, all 435 seats in the House, and 39 governorships. President Trump was out trying to drum up support for Republicans. He visited three states, including Missouri, last night.
I need you to get your family, get your friends, get your neighbors, get your co-workers. and go out and vote for Republican Congress, for Republican Senate. Go out and vote Republican tomorrow.
Battling laryngitis, former President Obama spoke in Fairfax, Virginia.
You're going out there, you're going to make sure that people vote to start making things better. And when you do that, then the spirit of America is going to shine. All right, let's get to work.
Several states could determine whether Republicans will maintain, add to, or lose their majority in the U.S. Senate. It is a close Senate race in Texas, with Republican incumbent Ted Cruz being chased closely by Democrat Beto O'Rourke. On the eve of the election, Cruz appealed to all of his constituents.
If you care about jobs in Texas, you want a thriving energy industry, and you don't vote like Beto O'Rourke has.
O'Rourke, speaking with reporters, was asked about the caravan of migrants in Mexico and what he'd do if some in that group asked for asylum.
We are a city of immigrants, and we are made far stronger. We're more successful. We're safer than we would have been without their presence. So we will continue to do what we have always done, be a nation of immigrants.
The Trump administration has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to let the president end some deportation protections. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This is specifically for young undocumented immigrants. Now, it's an unusual step in that it bypasses a federal appeals court saying it wants the case resolved by next summer. The program, as it currently stands, protects hundreds of thousands of young immigrants and shields them from deportation and allows them to seek work permits. A San Francisco-based federal court heard arguments in May, but hasn't ruled. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Knicks and Bulls played not one but two overtimes at the Garden, a game where the Knicks didn't get a basket for the first 5 minutes. They trailed by 10. They went from the first half to the first OT without a lead. Chicago's Zach LaVine took over in the second overtime. He scored all 8 of the Bulls' points. His free throw, with less than a second to go, won it for Chicago, 116-115. LaVine with a career-high 41 points. Knicks were without top scorer Tim Hardaway due to a sore back. Enes Kanter led them with 23 points, 24 rebounds. Hockey in Pittsburgh, it was Cancer Awareness Night. The Devils' Brian Boyle is a cancer survivor.
Boyle shooting, looking for the redirect with Palmieri there. Puck taken here by Hall. Boyle again, he scores! It's a hat trick for Brian Boyle! Another power play goal. The Devils have opened a 4-1 lead.
They beat the Penguins 5-1. MSG the call. The Islanders lost to Montreal 4-3 in a shootout. They blew a 3-1 lead. They get a point, but saw their five-game win streak come to an end. Tennessee won the Monday nighter in Dallas 28-14, so the Titans are 4-4. The Cowboys dropped to 3-5. The seat getting hotter for longtime Dallas coach Jason Garrett. Yankees GM Brian Cashman says he wants to re-sign free agent pitchers CC Sabathia and Jay Happ. Baseball's postseason awards will be revealed next week. Two Yankees, Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar, finalists for AL Rookie of the Year. The Mets' Jacob deGrom in it for the NL Cy Young. In a surprise, Boston's J.D. Martinez, not even a finalist for AL MVP. 43 home runs. He led the majors with 130 RBIs, and he hit .330. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, a special issue of the magazine focused on the Bloomberg New Economy Forum. Also in this week's edition, how DNA detectives are teaming up with law enforcement to solve cold cases. Drake Bennett wrote that story for Bloomberg Business
Week. By tracing your family tree, it's possible for people to find you, even if you yourself have not taken the test, uploaded your data, or all that.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report, a special midterm election edition from Bloomberg's Ed Corey, watching some of the races today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Nathan. In New Jersey, Democrat Robert Menendez is looking to fend off a challenge to his Senate seat from Republican Bob Hugin. It's been a heated campaign marked with biting attack ads and personal insults. Recent polls have Menendez leading the race. There are also several House seats up for grabs in the Garden State, with the closest contests coming in the 3rd, 7th, and 11th districts. In the 3rd, Republican incumbent incumbent Tom MacArthur is looking to hold off Democrat Andy Kim, polls showing the two candidates in a dead heat. In the 7th, Democrat Tom Malinowski has a small lead over Republican incumbent Leonard Lance. And in the 11th, it's a battle for an open House seat with polls showing Democrat Mikey Sherrill holding a small lead over Republican Jay Weber. Meanwhile, in New York State, the tightest House races come in the 1st, 2nd, 19th, and 22nd districts. In the 1st, polls show Republican incumbent Lee Zeldin likely to hold off Democratic challenger Perry Gershon. In the 2nd District, GOP Representative Peter King is facing a strong challenge from Democrat Luba Gretchen Shirley. Upstate in the 19th, it's a dead heat between incumbent GOP Representative John Faso and Democrat Antonio Delgado. There's a similarly tight race in the 22nd, where Republican Claudia Tenney is looking to hold her seat in a race against Anthony Brindisi. Polls show New York Governor Andrew Cuomo with a comfortable lead against Republican challenger Mark Molinaro. And Senator Kirsten Gillibrand holding a commanding advantage over Republican Shel Farley. In Connecticut, Democrat Senator Chris Murphy's seat appears safe from GOP challenger Matthew Corey. A different story in the race for the governor of the Nutmeg State, with Democrat Ned Lamont holding a slight lead over Republican Bob Stefanowski. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, Election Edition. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:40 now on Wall Street. Billionaire Bill Gates wants to reinvent the toilet. He's betting he can save 500,000 lives and deliver $200 billion-plus in savings. The Microsoft founder has unveiled about 20 novel toilet and sludge processing designs in Beijing. They're aimed at eliminating harmful pathogens. They'll convert bodily waste into clean water and fertilizer. And a clarification, the yield on the 10-year Treasury is at 3.19%. The price on the 10-year up 2/32. Two-year Treasury yields are at 2.90% right now. S&P futures down 7 points, a drop of 0.25%. Dow futures down 0.2 or 48 points. NASDAQ futures down 30 points. That is a drop of 0.4%. And it is now coming up on 5:41 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker, the Bloomberg Newsroom, with this Bloomberg Business Flash. We have stocks pretty much mixed ahead of Election Day, global stocks, that is. Investors entering a holding pattern as they await the midterm elections. European equities, they turned lower alongside futures here in the U.S. The Asian shares, they advanced. British pound sterling extending gains amid Brexit hopes. And Treasury yields in the dollar pretty steady right now. S&P futures are down 5 points. That's to 0.2%. The Dow futures, 31 points lower. That's down 0.1%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures down 26 points, down 0.4%. The euro, 114.01, down slightly against the greenback. The 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.19%, as the price increases by 2/32. We have NYMEX crude down 25 cents a barrel this morning, 62.85 a barrel. That's down about 0.4%. And spot gold up 424 an ounce at 1235.74. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. The rough and tumble election season is coming to a close. Voters across America are casting the final ballots of the first midterm election of Donald Trump's presidency. Polls show Republicans maintaining their narrow Senate majority as Democrats flip the House. A local human rights representative says Mexico City is prepared to accommodate as many as 5,000 migrants making their way to the U.S. border. About 2,000 Central Americans made it to a stadium in Mexico's capital, where they were given donated clothes, food, and a place to sleep for the night. In the NBA, the Knicks lost in double overtime against the Bulls. The Celtics lost. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Devils won along with the Bruins and Capitals. Monday Night Football, the Titans downed the Cowboys 28-14. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks very much. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 5:49 on Wall Street. And our top story all day, of course, is the midterm elections. President Trump has been ramping up the rhetoric on immigration in the run-up to today's vote. Last night in Indiana, he once again warned about the danger posed by a migrant caravan that's making its way from Central America to the U.S.-Mexico border.
If you want more caravans, if you want more crime, vote Democrat tomorrow.
That has been a popular refrain from President Trump in recent weeks. More from Bloomberg's Greg Sullivan.
President Trump has been focusing on the divisive issue of immigration in this lead up into the election. He thinks that this will resonate with his voters. His campaign ran an ad that focuses on the migrant caravan, but it was yanked from NBC, Fox News, and Facebook, and CNN declined to air it at all, calling the ad racist. It's no surprise that President Trump has turned to the theme of immigration. He campaigned on it in his initial presidential election, and in these recent weeks, he has made certain policy moves centered on immigration, saying, for instance, that he would, of course, try and remove birthright citizenship through executive order if that was even possible to do at all. Again, he sees this resonating with his base, a way to turn out his own voters, but it does risk alienating certain swing voters in those key competitive House races. The key thing to watch will be turnout. That will largely dictate where the House goes, where the Senate goes, and if they do indeed split control.
Bloomberg's Greg Sullivan reports more than 34 million ballots have been cast in early voting so far. That shatters records in states like Texas and Florida, where Senate and gubernatorial contests have grabbed national attention. Early voting is also happening in states where less is on the line nationally, including Maryland and North Carolina. At stake today, 35 Senate seats, all 435 House of Representatives seats, and 39 governorships. The ballot marks the first chance for voters to speak their minds since President Trump shocked the world with his 2016 win. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter.
After months and months of campaigning and millions of dollars that have been spent for various candidates, we're kind of back where we started, really. You know, the day after the elections in 2016, the sense was that the House was Democrats to lose and that they were unlikely to win the Senate. And that's where the projections are today. So this is kind of the moment of reckoning for Democrats. And I think, you know, a lot does hang in the balance, both in terms of 2020 and the presidential race that's coming up then. So the very first polls close at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and then we'll get a whole wave of polls after that at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I think what'll be interesting to watch is, you know, whether or not a lot of those races are called right away or whether they appear to be close. Among the races that we're watching in there are a number of House races that are in sort of suburban districts. There's one, for example, in suburban Philadelphia where a Republican is seeking re-election and a Democrat is hoping to capitalize on anti-Trump backlash to unseat him. And so that's kind of a model that we're seeing throughout these races. And whether or not Democrats are successful in those types of districts, I think is going to be sort of a early bellwether of how successful a night they're going to have.
Let's get more analysis live on this election. Bloomberg Chief Content Officer Marty Shanker joins me now in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. Nice to have you with us here, Marty, on this election morning. Of course, we've been talking for days, if not weeks now, about the expectation that Democrats take the House and Republicans hold on in the Senate. But I got to think, after 2016, you have to be expecting the unexpected, right? Oh,
absolutely. And there's no doubt that tomorrow morning we'll wake up with a number of surprises that people didn't anticipate. And I think that's why you see the markets in a holding pattern, because they remember well what happened in 2016, and they have to be set up to for any shock that could happen tomorrow.
All right. So what kinds of shock should we be looking for? What are you on the lookout for?
Well, I think most of the polling suggests that the Democrats are going to take the House. So a real shock would be if they don't. And that would, if the Republicans were to keep the Senate and the House, it would essentially give Donald Trump free rein to continue his policies in trade and deregulation, tax cuts, and a conservative judiciary. And it would be, again, that it would put the Democrats in complete disarray, because it would be the second national election in a row where they polled well but did not get the turnout they needed. So that would be a shocking result.
All right. And if Republicans do shock us once again and maintain control, could we see more moves perhaps to try to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act? Could we see more moves on infrastructure spending?
I think there's no doubt about that. And I think in the political realm, what you will see is a move to shut down Bob Mueller's probe. And perhaps, and all the betting is that Jeff Sessions is going to go, no matter what happens in this election. So a lot of the external political realm would be put in the back burner if the Republicans were to maintain control of the House and the Senate. I don't personally think that's going to happen, but it is one of those outlying events that people have to be ready for.
And if expectations do hold and we have split government, what does that mean? Gridlock for 2 years and more investigations? A lot of political watchers have been talking about that.
Yeah, it'll be gridlock, but it'll be a high altitude gridlock, because what will happen is the Democrats will thus with, as many have said, with subpoena power in their hands and a number of committees, and it's clear the Democrats have plotted this out. You will see a real move to rein in the Trump administration from all kinds of issues involving conflict of interest, the Trump org businesses. You will see subpoenas for Donald Trump's tax returns, and it will be a real mess for about 2 years of investigations, subpoenas, and basically gridlock, which may ironically be good for the markets.
How so?
Well, gridlock, you know, do no harm is the investor credo when you're dealing with Washington. So if they can't get anything passed, actually that leaves the field open for businesses to basically make money. And as we've seen, and Donald Trump hasn't taken more enough credit for it, the economy is really in one of the best places it's been in generations. So that would continue with gridlock.
It could be a long night ahead as watch those results roll in. Bloomberg Chief Content Officer Marty Shanker, thanks for being with us this morning. And stay with Bloomberg Radio for election night coverage. David Westin anchors it starting at 7 p.m. Wall Street time as those polls begin to close. John.
All right, Nate and Marty, thanks. It is 5:56 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg ETF report being brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with the ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Pim Fox.
Money is flowing into short-duration floating-rate ETFs. For details, let's go to Eric Balchunas, Bloomberg Intelligence ETF analyst.
Oh, it's unbelievable. This is probably the flow story of the year in ETFs. And why? Because they're up, right? These are ETFs that hold, it could be anything. It could be treasuries or corporates, but they just have very low duration. And one area within that category seeing a lot of flows is active. People like active here. So overall this year, there's been about $50 billion put into ultra short, short-term, and floating rate debt ETFs. Considering the ETFs have only taken in a little over $200 billion, that is a lot.
This is because what? Market volatility, right?
Well, that's what they used them in the past month for, but they're also used as a place to hide out from rising rates.
Got it. Thanks very much. Eric Balchunas, Bloomberg Intelligence ETF analyst. This is the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thanks a lot. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street this election day, the futures point to a lower open. S&P futures down 9 points. The Dow futures down 67. And the NASDAQ futures 36 points lower. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.